rave and rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure? Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. The heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. When his wrath is kindled but a little.
BBSRadio.com.
Hello, this is South Dakota State Senator Julie Freimuller. If you want a power-packed, informative lesson on both the Constitution and our God, you need to listen to Bradley Dean's Sons of Liberty podcast. Please get out of your routine and experience reality from someone who isn't afraid to tell the whole truth on what is actually happening in our country. We should all know by now that mainstream media is not trustworthy and is counting on our complacency to accept their narrative. Bradley Dean tells it like it is, and you will benefit from his message.
I want to thank Bradley and the Sons of Liberty for all they're doing to wake people up and to get our nation back to the constitutional republic that it was set up to be. Thanks, Bradley.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker, rocker, rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQ, RSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show here on Red State Talk Radio, where we... Oh, not Red State. Sorry. BBS. Gotta forgive me. I get that train of thought in there. Woo! Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina. The editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this afternoon, and if you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com or sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. The one on the right side is the morning show. If you missed that, missed an interesting story from our friend Jeff Adams. The Lord called him to give away his business, and as a result of that, opened his eyes to a new venture in helping people, discovering something nobody else had, and being able to help with that. If you missed that show, you'd like to catch it, you can do so up until 8 o'clock in the morning, at which time we'll be live with Kate Shimarani, so don't miss us there tomorrow morning. On the left side is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon. It'll be in the bottom right-hand corner of that video. If you click on that, it'll take you over into Rumble, and there's a lot of friends over there, so hey, guys, good afternoon. Good to see you guys over there. While you're there, please subscribe to that channel, Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live. We're also on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. Appreciate Michael and his team giving us a spot on their platform. And then also we're on highly censored Facebook pages over there. Good afternoon to you guys, too, and DLive.TV at the Sons of Liberty. All right, I'm just going to jump right into it because there's a lot I'm going to go. And if I'm going too fast, you can always rewind it. I'll try to get it in the hour, I promise. We're going to have commercials. Some of this might take a while because I'm going to show you these things. But the other morning, I played a video from Charlie Kirk. And this was, I played it the day of the election results, but I think it was, this had happened obviously before. But he was addressing something here, and I think... Number one, again, I told you, look for where Charlie Kirk's money's coming from. And that's who you'll see he doesn't want to offend. Okay? And where it's support. The same thing's true with all these guys. It's the same thing. So he's talking with some younger people. I'm guessing maybe he's at a college or something. And he's trying to, you know, give some Christian language here. And this is what I'm going to open with, because this is often what happens when you start pointing out, wait a minute, somebody's really not qualified, whether it's to be an overseer in a church, an elder, a deacon, a pastor, or anything else for that matter. And it's also the same thing that happens when we look to representatives. Now, before I start, if you're saying, are you looking for sinless perfection? I'm not looking for any of that. I'm looking for, in the pastor's and the deacon's case, what the Lord says. That's his standard, not mine. It's his. So I look to his standard. And one of the main things that we'll see during this, during our time together, is these men have to be above reproach. Okay? So I want you to listen to what Charlie has to say, because he's addressing something that John Piper said about Trump. And he said, well, he was an unrepentant sinner. He says all this. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you several stories that are in the news about pastors. It's absolutely, it's not anything new, but it is quite incredible. And there's no wonder that those who are outside of Jesus Christ look and they're given a reason to blaspheme the Word of God. Here's Charlie Kirk trying to justify what's unjustifiable. Here it is.
Disagree with what he said, but my position is this. If you're a born-again Christian, by the fruit you will know them. And if the fruit is that I will cast my ballot for a party that had Gretchen Whitmer and...
Okay, all right. So right there, Charlie Kirk takes out of the context what the fruit is. Fruit's about false prophets, false teachers, right? That's what it is. And my incense is getting on here. It's doing that, and then he straps it to the fruit is me voting for some political party. That's the way he is trying to apply that interpretation. Now, I can tell you that can show fruit. I'm not saying it's not, but that's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage would be to deal with stuff like what gets said after this.
Gavin Newsom and Eric Adams and Joe Biden spend more wording and video time on Easter Sunday talking about trans rights than the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, that supports the massacring of children via trans and also abortion, that you cannot be a Christian and vote for that. Now, John Biden...
Okay, all right, so we're going to pause him a second. You cannot be a Christian and vote for that. But Charlie and many of you out there listening to me, I'm not going to let you off the hook. I told you, everything that goes on from here on out, you're responsible for. Because if you elected to put a guy in office or other members of Congress in office that have been shown they can't be trusted, then you're responsible for it. Because it's already been shown. It's not like you need to see it again. This has been done several times. So Charlie Kirk cast his vote for Donald Trump. He's unashamed about that. Donald Trump did what? Supported Planned Parenthood, $100 million more than Barack Hussein Obama's Satoris Abarca did every year. And it was a record. He was doing it every year, supplying them with money. Yeah, he did Title 10. Yeah, he stopped the foreign money or the money going out to foreign countries for Planned Parenthood. He did that. I'll give him props on that. He did exactly that. But when it came here to the domestic United States, he funded it. What about the trans thing there, Charlie? What about all the trans delusionals who've been invited down to Mar-a-Lago to have parties, to play music? What was this guy, Ricky Rebel? He was down there promoting that stuff. What about the log cabin Republicans that are welcomed in there, celebrated? These are sodomites, dude. And you hypocrite. You want to talk about voting for a party? You're voting for a man that did it. We could go down the line of all of these things that were going on. We're talking about things that are unrepented of. And Charlie Kirk put his vote behind this. Isn't he playing the hypocrite? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And here's what else he has to say.
Piper did not say he was voting Democrat. So he doesn't even fall into what I'm talking about. So let's talk about John Piper. What John...
Okay, we're going to come back on the other side. I'll finish this up, and then we'll get right into the meat of the matter. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Be right back.
William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, prophesied over 100 years ago that the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And here we are today.
Hi, I am Brittany Hillman. I have known Bradley and his family for over 5 years now. If you're looking for a true man of God to keep you up to date on current events, constitutional law, and tying it all together biblically, then Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty is a place to be. I can say from experience the man walks the walk and talks the talk and will bend to no man, sticks to the Bible, and is always seeking and speaking the truth. Bradley says the things that need to be said that no one else will. I am truly thankful and blessed for all that his ministry has done for my family and I. Please consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty to keep the gospel and truth spreading around the world.
Son of Liberty, Mr. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." Well then, for 25 years now, we as a ministry team have been doing just that and bearing fruit to the glory of Christ. From tea parties to high schools, from colleges to churches, prisons, and more. Friends, it has been correctly stated that a salvation without service is no salvation at all. How true that is. If we have found on a personal level salvation in Christ, this then will lead us back to a national salvation when we work together through a reformation back to his old paths and working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now is the time to work together in bringing us into your communities and setting these brush fires in the minds of men and women nationwide. So book us today. Give us a call at 1-866-233-0747.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty. All right, we cut off there just a little bit on Charlie Kirk. He's going to make a couple of statements here, and then we're going to get into everything we're doing. It's just about 30 seconds or a minute long here. I'm just going to let him finish, and I'll make my comments, and we'll jump right into things.
Piper is saying is that I believe abortion is wrong. Okay. I believe that the transing of kids is wrong. I believe all this sort of stuff. But I think Donald Trump is this unrepentant sinner. And I would say, John, Mr. Piper, what do you have to do with the story of Samson? Should he be in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews?
Now, stop. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to comment on it. He goes on to say this right here. Well, let me just let him say what he said.
Scriptures, it says that Samson is in the righteous hall of faith. If you know the story about Samson, he's sort of similar to Trump, the hair. God came to Samson while he was in the bed with a prostitute. Samson took the jaw of a donkey and killed 400 Philistines. He wasn't exactly your perfect mold, but God used him for a purpose. And I would ask John Piper, can God use broken, sinful vessels for his purpose? He used King Cyrus to bring God's chosen people after the first exile for the reconstruction of the Second Temple. And the question for John Piper, he says, I remain baffled. Well, you shouldn't remain baffled, Mr. Piper, because the people that are Trump supporters that are Christians, they know Donald Trump's faults. They could recite them back to you, just like they know their own faults. But he also has virtues. And I never hear the virtues ever articulated from people like John Piper. What are the virtues? He's awfully courageous. Would you keep on fighting if you're facing 700 years in federal prison time and your
never
family's business empire is
never
at risk
really
of being taken from you? Would you keep on running for office and keep on fighting if everything you've done is in front of you? I don't know if I would. Secondly, his love of country, I think, is unparalleled, unprecedented.
Okay.
Finally,
okay. Unparalleled,
he was conflating a policy agenda with personality. He says a president is not only personality or policy, but it's also personality. But policy is far more important than personality. I'll prove it to you. If you turn off your TV and you tune out of all the media, will you still be impacted by the president? Yes, by his policy. And so the question for John Piper is, you're watching way too much mainstream media. You're being infected way too much about a man that I don't think you even know. But can you acknowledge that Donald Trump delivered 3 Supreme Court justices and gave us the overturn of Roe versus Wade? If we voted the way that John Piper wanted us, or let's just say embrace that belief system in 2016, we would have had Hillary Clinton as president.
Now, I'm just going to stop in there. You guys can watch the rest of the video. The guy has it on here, and he's showing some of these things. I just listen to what he's saying. Oh, you don't know the guy. You know, he gave us 3 Supreme Court justices to overturn Roe v. Wade. Okay. He also sold out our sovereignty under the USMCA, Charlie. He also unloaded a bioweapon with our money on the people, tens of millions. Why doesn't Charlie Kirk talk about that? And the reason he brings up Samson is because he doesn't see Samson's repentance. That's why he's in the Hall of Faith. You can't be in the Hall of Faith unless you have what? Faith. That very thing that Charlie Kirk doesn't mention. I'd like to ask Charlie Kirk, how much did Donald Trump talk about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on, quote unquote, Resurrection Sunday? How often did he talk about that? Tell us about that, Charlie. See, Charlie's skewed because Charlie listens to Trump. He listens to Mockingbird Media, too. And he listens to the conservative talking heads like Dan Bongino. Look, Dan Bongino's got some experience. He can tell you some things that's great. But Dan Bongino listens to Trump. That's what's going on. Okay? If we laid out all the stuff, we would evaluate him based. And by the way, a president's not a king. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Because the examples many people will bring up about Trump or other representatives or pastors is, oh, well, you know, they're fallen like we are and we should be willing to forgive them. Yes, we should forgive them. We should be willing to do that. They're repentant. There's no question that we should do that and we should seek to restore them, not to the position they were in, but restore them as people before God. We should seek to do that. The Bible says if we love them, a love covers a multitude of sins. We seek to restore them, to aid them in repentance by calling them to it. That's the point. Pointing them to Christ. Not letting them go on in it. Let me give you a few examples. This was just one off of Trump, but I want to give you some out of pastors as well. Because they do it with pastors too. But with Trump, we got this. This was from Jeffrey Epstein. You can read this at the Sons of Liberty or sonsoflibertymedia.com. The Predator and the President, Jeffrey Epstein tapes. Quote, I was Donald Trump's closest friend and... or unquote, and how Trump cuckolded his friends. And I'm not going to tell you what the cuckolded is. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. You probably don't need to know. You just need to know it involves adultery. Okay? That's as close as I'm going to go with it. But if you scroll down, you can actually hear him saying it. There's an interview in here where Epstein's talking about it. He says, I was Donald Trump's closest friend for 10 years. He talks about the fact that when he comes down here, and I don't know why the video does this. I've messed with it as much as I can, but for whatever reason, it's coming off of the site where we tied to an article. But he's talking about how he knew when Trump and Melania first engaged in sexual intercourse on one of his planes. Mm-hmm. He knew when he was with other of his friends' wives. Yeah, you can read all of this in here, and you can see it, okay? But yet Charlie Kirk doesn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. Why? Why do you not touch it, Charlie? If you want to come on the show, we'll have a conversation, but I'd ask you, why don't you touch that? And then he talks about John Piper. He assumes he's not voting. I don't know if he voted or didn't vote. That's none of my business. That's his. But if he rejects both of the clowns they put up, good. I reject both of them too, as you should have. But he points out these things to try to justify what's unjustifiable. Oh, we can find flawed men all throughout Scripture where God used them. Yeah, it's because there's no other kind of man out there is flawed men. All of us are fallen. This is a fact and evidence. It's not something that we're hiding in a rock. We all know this. But there's a difference between a fallen man who's been regenerated, been given the new birth, and been given the gift of the Spirit of God, and the difference between those who have it. Because what does the Spirit of God do? He reveals to us the Christ, the standard, the one we're to be conformed to, the one in whose, John says, in whose footsteps we're to walk in. That's what he points us to. He doesn't point us to Trump. He doesn't point us to Charlie Kirk. He certainly doesn't point us to Tim Brown. He points us to Christ. Now, is Christ involved in this stuff that Donald Trump or some of our members of Congress or members of the bureaucracy that exists in D.C. or in our state government? Does he engage in any of this stuff? Nope. Jesus said, who can convince me of sin? I haven't been sinning. And nobody could. So let's take a look at a couple of stories. These are out right now, and then we're going to go to the scripture over this, because I want to show you that some people blow it off that, well, David sinned greatly, but he was repentant and God forgave him, and that's where they end. They never see what came as a result of David's sin. They never bring that up, because if they did, it would undercut whatever they're trying to justify. This guy right here, this is Mika Miller's pastor, husband, arrested for assault days after FBI raid. Now, this guy, he's down in South Carolina here, Myrtle Beach. And the FBI was called in to raid his house after there were complaints of assault and batteries. He was arrested, and he's being looked at. This is his deceased wife, Mika. He's being arrested because, or he's being investigated because they're looking into her suicide, that he might have something to do with it. She was fearful for her life. She had family that said she was fearful. She said he had groomed her. He had groomed her and then married her. He was apparently abusive to her. She went and bought a gun, went to the state park, made a call to 911 to let them know she was about to kill herself, and wanted to make sure they knew where they could find her body so her family would be able to find it. She wanted a way out. And now this pastor is under investigation of it. Am I saying he done something? No, but all the signs show that there's something else going on. This is one. Let me show you another one. This is from, let's see, this is, I'm trying to think of what they call the name of this place. Anyway, I'll just show it to you. Woman says IHOPKC founder Mike Bickle used prophecy to sexually abuse her. This is somewhere out in Kansas City. We'll cover this when we come right back. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. Hang on.
BBSRadio.com.
Son of Liberty, Mr. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." Well then, for 25 years now, we as a ministry team have been doing just that and bearing fruit to the glory of Christ. From tea parties to high schools, from colleges to churches, prisons, and more. Friends, it has been correctly stated that a salvation without service is no salvation at all. How true that is. If we have found on a personal level salvation in Christ, this then will lead us back to a national salvation when we work together through a reformation back to his old paths in working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now is the time to work together in bringing us into your communities and setting these brush fires in the minds of men and women nationwide. So book us today. Give us a call at 1-866-233-0747.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste your time with fluff. Here's a real 48-page printed newspaper that is not fair and balanced as defined by the mainstream media. Instead, we tell you the truth you need to know. Check us out and email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
This is Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. We are welcoming Bradley Dean to the Brighteon radio platform because Bradley Dean is on the front lines, speaking truth to power, defending your liberties and your constitutional rights. Bradley's voice is critical for our world in this dangerous era when tyrants and perverts are trying to steal away our children, our culture, and our future. It's people like Bradley Dean who are standing against the tyranny and holding the ground for Christians and patriots. Catch his show at brighteonradio.com.
We support Sons of Liberty as a family because they speak truth in the space that is riddled with misinformation. Bradley Dean reminds those who should know better and educates those who have yet to learn, especially the young people in our public schools. We enthusiastically support Sons of Liberty as a light bearer to the truth as they battle extreme ignorance in the information age.
Bradley Dean, a man for all seasons. He's a musician, a patriot, a radio host, a father, a family man, and most of all, he is my friend. Hey, this is former Sheriff Richard Mack, and Bradley Dean is the real deal. He's been called lots of things, even extremist. Well, maybe he is, because extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. Stick with Bradley and the Sons of Liberty. This is Sheriff Mack.
This is Richard Mass, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
BBSRadio.com.
Hi, this is Tiffany from San Diego, California, and I'm a proud supporter of Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty, where you find truth, common sense, and a pathway back to the core Christian values upon which this country was founded. Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty tell it like it is and reminds us that we, the people, have the power.
All right. When I left you, we were talking about this guy, Mike Bickle. He established International House of Pancakes. I'm just teasing. International House of Prayer, Kansas City. That's what the IHOPKC. I'm just going to hit these stories real quick because I want to get to the scripture about when people put this stuff up about David, why they leave things out. And this article about Bickle starts out with that. In 1996, at age 19, Jane Doe, that's who she is, decided to move to Kansas City to intern with her father's friend, Mike. Bickle, the 42-year-old prophetic pastor's preaching about King David, had touched her heart. "I just remember feeling he knew the same Jesus I knew," Doe told the Roy's Report in an exclusive interview. Soon after she arrived, she said Bickle told her he had a dream about her. After a Sunday service in front of Bickle's wife, Diane, Doe said Bickle prophesied that he was David and Doe was Esther. "He gives me the biggest word of my life," she said. "It was, 'You're not an Esther, you're going to lead thousands of Esthers.'" And then it just got weird. A few weeks later, Bickle called Doe from Asia to say the Lord spoke to him again, spoke to him about her. She said, I'm going to tell you, anytime somebody says, "The Lord spoke to me about you, is give me a word," you need to take that very, you need to deal with that very carefully. You need to deal with that very, very carefully. So he calls her from Asia. This time, though, she said he sounded drunk. He begins to tell me that the Lord had spoken to him and that Diane, that's his wife, is going to die and that we're going to get married. I'll bet he didn't tell his wife that. And he's talking to me. I'm thinking, is he drunk? And he admits that he's been drinking and he keeps telling her on and on about this stuff. Yep. And they're engaged sexually. And then the girl starts noticing he's doing it with other women. They're coming into his office. They've got a key to his office. He's putting them up. He's doing all this stuff. Yep. Same stuff. Then we got this guy, T.D. Jakes. If you're not staying far away from this guy, you really need to. He denies sexual misconduct at Diddy's parties. What's he doing there? What is a preacher doing at a Diddy party? You guys have probably seen the videos. If you haven't, don't go look. You don't need to. We're talking about some real degeneracy that's going on there. What's a pastor doing there? Now, if he's legitimately there with somebody else and they're sharing the gospel with people, I have no problem with that. But I'm pretty sure I know T.D. Jakes well enough. He's not doing that. But he claims, I'm not doing it. Yeah, right. Then we got this. Oops, that was that one. Sorry. I opened up the wrong thing. We got, what's the guy's? Steve Lawson out of Ligonier. The man's in his 70s. He's been having a fling with a girl who's like in her 20s for 5 years. So they had him step down. Well, we hear about David, right? David comes to the forefront. Let's see if we can blow this up because I want you guys to kind of follow along with me because we're going to look at several passages. We're going to begin here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. That's where it all begins. And we're just going to jump through and highlight all of the things that these people who will reference David. And look, I've been guilty of doing it too as a young Christian, not realizing all of the impact there that was. But notice what happens. Let's go to this. The deed has been done. David had not gone with his army. He's hanging back, relaxing in the castle, and he spots a beautiful naked woman bathing herself on top of the house, right? So he begins to lust after her, and he calls for her, and he commits adultery with her, sends her back home. She gets pregnant. He begins to scheme and say, well, how can we cover this up? Let's bring Uriah, her husband, home. I'll get him down to the house where he's with his wife and he enjoys his wife for the night, and then we'll send him back to the battle and all will be well. Well, Uriah is an upright man, and he won't go do it because he knows his brothers are still out there fighting the battle. How can he go down and enjoy his family and all when they can't enjoy it? And so he sleeps outside his door. Well, everybody knows he was sleeping outside his door. He was not in his bed with his wife. And so David gets a little concerned, and what does he do? Sends a note to the captain, says, send him to the front, hoping that he'll be killed. Can't guarantee it, but it's pretty sure that that's what's going to happen. And sure enough, Uriah's dead. Immediately, David plays the hero, invites, you know, Bathsheba into the castle, and he makes her his wife. And all the time, his sin is hidden. And if you read his confession, he's talking about how that sin is literally eating away his health. It's eating away his health. And so we come to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Here's what we read. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, was like unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man hath done this thing shall surely die. Now he said that, and that was right. There was a righteous indignation that David had. He was right in what he said. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And then come those fearful words that stop David in his passion against this man. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You're the guy in this story, David. And you know what? David doesn't need the explanation. He's cut to the heart right there. He knows he's been found out. And he knows God sees everything anyway. He knows that. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? God was good to David, wasn't he? He was really good to David. And yet he confronts him and he says, you despise my commandment to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, listen, listen, Charlie Kirk, listen, people who are using David to justify the unjustifiable with your pastors, with your representatives, or whoever. Listen to what he says. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me. This was a man after God's own heart, but because of his sin, God says, it's a demonstration that you despise me. And you've taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Let me tell you, all of this right here, all these stories that we just communicated, all of that is a despising of the Lord. When we do things like, when we even have it in our heart, Jesus said it begins in the heart, doesn't he? We're showing that we despise the Lord, not that we love him. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. Listen, pay attention to that part. I'll take your wives, I'll give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of, he's going to do it publicly. He's going to humiliate you, David, because of your sin. For thou didst it secretly, and I saw it in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. That's what the Lord told David. You know, none of these guys ever mention that when they give their excuses to justify the sins of their idols that they've put up. Yeah, they never bring up this stuff. Never do that. For thou this is secretly, I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, Nathan, you don't understand. I mean, I was just up there for a little bit, and man, she was so fun, and I just had to have her. He didn't try to give an excuse. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. He didn't make an excuse. He said, I sinned. He was willing to accept the consequences. If that meant he was going to be slayed right then that's what he was meaning to have done. But listen to the word of the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Why? Because God can do that. It's not a part of law to show mercy. Mercy is not a part of law. It's independent from it. Law demands justice. Boom, you get it. The Lord showed him mercy. What did he do? He finally uncovered his sin, didn't he? He confessed it to the Lord. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, you're not going to die. But because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Not only when we sin do we give occasion for others to blaspheme God and his word, so do those who represent us to the world when they do it. See, our sin doesn't just stay with us, does it? It always affects other people, especially those who are closest to us. It always does. There's no way we can hide it. And so, what do we read? Well, we're going to pick that up in just a minute. Final segment coming up. I don't know if I'm going to get it all, so you guys hang on. You may have to hang over for a little bit. We'll do that if we got to do it. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Be right back.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life, books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, prophesied over 100 years ago that the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And here we are today.
Hello, this is South Dakota State Senator Julie Freimuller. If you want a power-packed, informative lesson on both the Constitution and our God, you need to listen to Bradley Dean's Sons of Liberty podcast. Please get out of your routine and experience reality from someone who isn't afraid to tell the whole truth on what is actually happening in our country. We should all know by now that mainstream media is not trustworthy and is counting on our complacency to accept their narrative. Bradley Dean tells it like it is, and you will benefit from his message.
All right, final segment here on Sons of Liberty. And, yeah, my dog's wound up a little bit, trying to get him to be quiet. Maybe he's giving the amen there. I don't know. In any case, all right, he's going to be a little rowdy for a few minutes. Sorry about that. All right, with that said, notice what happens. Nathan said the child's going to die. I'm just going to hit this part, and then we're going to jump, and we're going to see each of these things as they transpire. This is verse 15. As soon as he says this, Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. The Bible says that Yahweh did that. He struck the child, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him, and to raise him up from the earth. But he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. Now, David's been told that the child's going to die, right? But what does David do? He goes and he fasts. He lays all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose, went to him, raised him from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. Now notice what happens. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? He might do something terrible to himself. That's the way they thought. They didn't realize David was trying to intercede for his child. He still hoped in the mercy of God in the midst of that. This happens later on, too. Remember when David does the census that he's not supposed to do? And he says, I've sinned before the Lord. And the Lord says, well, I'm going to give you three options of what kind of punishment's coming. And David chose the one about the plague for a couple of days, saying, I'll throw myself into the hands of the Lord. I'd rather be in the hands of the Lord amidst the plague than be in the hands of man. He was trusting in the mercy of God, and a lot of people died because of his sin. Thousands of people. And when David saw his servants whispered, David perceived the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. And he worshiped. He came into his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him. He did eat and said unto the servants, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. Now listen to him. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God be... Whew, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? See, his hope was that maybe, just maybe, God might be merciful in this situation. And then when it was not to be, he backed off from it. But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. What does he mean? I know a lot of people say going to heaven. I think the concept is he's saying, I'm going to go to the grave just like the child did. I'm going where he is. He's not coming back to me. I'm going to go where he is, though. And he had to get up and move on from it. But remember, Nathan said it wasn't just the child. The sword wouldn't depart from David's house. And so we read in the very next chapter, chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. She was lovely, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. I mean, he was, you're talking about, when you want to use the term lovesick, this is a brother for his sister. It's really twisted. For she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. And he's saying, go, you know, I'm going to cut to the chase because I've got a lot of stuff here. He's basically told him, he says, go in there and pretend like you're sick and then ask for her to come in and make you some food. And she's going to be there. And then you can kind of schmooze yourself in. Well, he does. David grants that. Tamar goes in. She gets him. She makes him flour cakes and she bakes them for him. She takes the pan and cooks them out, and then she comes over. She's ready to serve it, but he wouldn't eat. And Amnon set all the men out, and when she came in with the food, okay, she brings everything in, and she's going to serve her brother. And when she had brought it to him, he took hold of her and made his proposition. Come lie with me, my sister. Now, she was righteous too. Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? You're going to shame me in the process, because we're not married. And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. She warns him, you're going to be like a fool. And he was. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. At least go about it the right way. Talk to my father. But he wouldn't do it. And he raped her. And then after he was done loving her, it's really a lust, he sent her away. He kicked her out. Now, they have a brother named Absalom.
And Absalom got wind of what went on. And Absalom began to scheme how he was going to kill Amnon. And indeed he did it. And he carried it out. And not only did he carry it out, but he sought to take over the kingdom from David, causing David to flee from the king. And what happened to Absalom? Well, he had long, beautiful hair. He had politicked everybody to get on his side and get away from his father. And what happened? Well, he got that hair caught in a tree. And David said, don't kill the young man. But one of the guys went and rammed him right through and killed him. That was the second son dead. Now he's got a daughter that's been raped. Excuse me just a second. I don't know why he's so wound up, but anyway. He was asleep before the show. But it says Amnon hated his sister, and then Absalom came in and killed him. And then Absalom was killed. And we see all kinds of things that pop up from this that are never mentioned here. Absalom was the one later on that we read in the book there that took those women. Remember, God said he's going to take your wives and your concubines, and he's going to engage them sexually out in the open in front of the sun, in front of all Israel. That's exactly what he did. That's what he did. All of this is as a result that's going on years later of David's sin. And that's not it. That's not all. Another of David's sons, Adonijah, he tried to go around David and make himself king too. And it would get him killed. We also know that David petitioned the Lord because he wanted to build a temple for the Lord. Remember that? Look here, this is 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And again, we're going to go over just a little bit. I'm trying to rush through a couple of things here, but we're going to go over a little bit just to cover a few of these things. So if you want to catch that, sonsoflibertymedia.com beforeitsnews.com or Rumble at Sons of Liberty Radio Live. This is what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Listen to what it says. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king, of course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. And David the king stood upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. But God does tell him that his son Solomon will build a house for him. He is going to do that. All right. With that said, catch us on sonsoflibertymedia.com, beforeitsnews.com, Rumble, Sons of Liberty Radio Live for the rest of this. Lord willing, we'll see you guys back in the morning, 8 a.m. bright and early, with Kate Shimarani. Talk to you then. Okay, we're just running over here, so I'm just stopping everything, and we'll see if we can get through the rest of this. But God tells him, he says, you know, your son's going to build it. And sure enough, Solomon builds it. But even Solomon runs after foreign gods. Why? Because he's running after foreign women. Look at what happens. 1 Kings chapter 11, the king Solomon loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edenites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Now, how do you... I can just see that. I can see you guys. I can see some of you. Well, wait a minute.
David was messing around with Bathsheba, and he's going to kill her husband, and he's done all this. He's hid the sin for months. How is his heart not like Solomon's? Didn't it go against the Lord? Yeah, it did. But when he was confronted, he came back. He came back. See, this is the difference. You read a great little book here, and I've mentioned it many times. It's on apostasy. It's a little Puritan paperback by John Owen. And this is one of the things he talks about. He says, look, a believer may run across sin. It's not a part of his life. It's not a pattern of his life, but he may run across sin. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between the one who's the true believer and the one who's not. He will receive discipline because God won't let him keep going in it. He's going to turn him around. He's going to bring him back. Let me ask you something. How many of you out there, I got 10 kids. I got some that learn with just a look or just speaking to them, right? I had others, I had to ride them constantly. They were bullheaded like their daddy. They were. But I did with everyone what I saw they needed. Why? Because I wanted them to repent. I wanted them to do what was right. If I can do that as a fallen, flawed, man, how much more the perfect God of creation, the perfect Father? How much more him? He turned David. He turned him. Notice what it led Solomon to do. Verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 11. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. This is the guy that God had a covenant with. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was not pleased with Solomon. He was angry with him, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And then he said, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done in thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake. He didn't do it for Solomon's sake. He did it for the promise he gave to David. But I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. And that's exactly what he did. Further showing that the sin of David was crossing generations. It wasn't just in his lifetime. This stuff was going on after he died. He had already set the path that way. Those couple of sins resulted in all of this stuff. So, when we hear from people, like Charlie Kirk. Oh, he has flaws. You can name him, but he has virtues too. See, they try to justify it because they think they're the standard. Now, they don't say that, and they're not going to say that. Oh, no, they'll say God is the standard, Jesus is the standard, right? They'll say that. But you listen to how they reason, and they're reasoning the standard based on themselves. Like his thing about Samson. He didn't even take into account why Samson is in the Hall of Faith, because he had actual faith. When we look at politicians and they tell us, I've never repented, I never asked God to forgive me, I've never cried out for mercy, and the Lord is not in their heart because it's not on their lips and it's not in their actions. And yet, we'll let these people give the excuses. They give the excuses and they say, remember King David. Let's remember King David. And let's remember all of the things, the consequences that followed him. You say, well, our president's not a king. That's right. He's not King David either. Neither are our representatives and neither are our pastors. A king, when he was installed, he was anointed. And if you read through the kings, what happens? They reign for so many years and then they die. They reign for so many years and they die. They reign for so many years and they die. And somebody takes their place, right? That's the way it is. President doesn't do that. Congressmen don't do that. And pastors surely shouldn't be doing that. They are, in the church, they're to do it as long as they've got good character. That's the big thing. Nobody wants to talk about character. No, no, no. If you talk about character, well then, Tim, nobody can be in there. That's nonsense. If God made qualifications for men to be in he made them to be elders in the church, if he made them to be deacons in the church, if he set men up for a civil government office, guess what he does? He readies them for that. He prepares their hearts for that. He prepares their hearts for that, okay? He prepares their lives for that. He qualifies them. That's the thing people don't want to hear because they haven't been qualified. But the Lord qualifies the man. And it's evident to all. Listen, this is 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is just talking about the elder. Take a listen. Everything in here is about his character, except for one thing, his giftedness to teach. Listen to what it says. It is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, that's an overseer, an elder in a church. It's not necessarily a pastor, but he is an overseer. He desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. You know, you can't be having scandal around you. You got to be blameless. The husband of one wife. He's not got multiple wives. Doesn't mean that if his wife has died and he takes another wife, doesn't mean that he's not, you know, the one wife guy, one woman guy. Okay? That's what it means. He's a one woman man. That's who his heart is to. He's vigilant, he's sober, he's of good behavior, he's given to hospitality, he opens up his home, right? Apt to teach, that's the only thing that's giftedness. Everything else is about his character. He's not given to wine, he's no striker, it means he's not going out trying to brawl with people. He's not greedy of filthy lucre, he's not driven by money, but he's patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. He's got to rule his own house well. How many pastors, politicians, and the rest don't rule their home well? They're engaged in scandal. They're engaged in fornication. They're engaged in adultery. They're engaged in extortion. They're engaged in all kinds of stuff. Their children are doing much the same thing. If they don't have that, they shouldn't be looked at to rule in the church, and they surely shouldn't be looked at, in my opinion, in a Christian nation to be ruling civil government. Okay? He goes on and he says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" Now, I could go down the line here of a lot of politicians and preachers and stuff like this, and we can go right down through it and we can just show you. We can show you exactly what it is, what the fruit is, born out in it. And if a guy can't rule in his house, does he have any business in among leading the people of God? No, he doesn't. And by the way, neither does a guy who sits as the minister of God, whether it's in the White House, on a bench in a court, or whether it's in the Congress. They have no business being there. We're also told he can't be a novice. He can't be new to the faith. Why? Why is that? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. In other words, even people outside of the church for the elder, they know he's a good man. They know he's a righteous man. Let me change that. They know he's a man of good character. Doesn't mean he's good. It means he's of good character. I'm going to correct myself in saying that, since nobody's good, right? But he has good character. He has character that God has qualified him for. And in often cases, this takes many years doing it. I mean, the guy has a family. How many of you have seen churches who take single men and make them the pastor? How do you do that? Well, but he's a good guy. No, he's not a good guy. I just got through saying that. Well, he's got good character. How do you know? If he doesn't have a wife, if he doesn't have children that's demonstrated in that home, how do you know? You see what I'm saying? It's demonstrated. God qualifies, not the man. The God qualifies them. Also, he says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. And then the deacons are very much the same way. The servants of the church. They must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, a filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let those who also first be proved. Let them be proved. In other words, if you see them already doing the deeds, you're seeing the evidence that they're being qualified. You see it in their life, in their family, and you see it in their deeds. Pretty simple to find. Let them be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives. Oh, it's even about their wives. The wives must be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. That's what their wives have to be. Let the deacons also be husbands of one wife. They got to be one woman men, ruling their children and their own houses well. Oh, they got to demonstrate it too. They got character. That's what they have to have. If they don't have that character, let me ask you something. Should they be a deacon? Should they be an elder? Should they be a representative? Should they be president? Should they be a judge? Should they be a governor? Why would God, listen, why would God call us to that individually? Because these are set up as an example to follow. They're the example to follow, right? Why would God call us to that individually, then call us to that in our families, and then all of a sudden when it gets to the church, he says, don't worry about all that stuff you learned by yourself and with your family. Just check that out, and you get the guy who preaches the best, sounds the best, or he's a good business leader, or whatever. You know, he's charming, he's charismatic. All these other things, these traits that you find, except the things that God said qualified him. You think he's okay with that? No. And then you go from the ecclesiastical setup of the church, and you go into a form of civil government. Why would he tell you to chunk all that stuff out? He's taught you along the way what he expects. Why would he say throw that out? He didn't. In fact, when you read Romans 13, it's clear. Anybody in the position of authority, they have that authority from God, just like Jesus told Pilate, you have no authority except my Father gave it to you. But you have that authority. And if you're given that authority, what are you going to do with it if you've demonstrated in your own life you cannot be trusted? And when you're in civil government, guess what you are? You're to be a minister of God. It's funny to me how people will misread Romans 13 and say, oh, you Christians, see, you're supposed to submit to everything, even the tyranny, blah, blah. It doesn't say anything about that. It tells us to resist those kinds of things. It's laying out if the minister of God's doing what he's supposed to do, then there's nothing to fear because he's going to judge righteously. But if he doesn't, there's a problem. And we've seen some of that. Titus is another passage. Titus chapter 1, you know, Paul sends Titus over there setting up elders in every city. He says the same thing as Titus chapter 1. And beginning of verse 5, he says that he was to ordain elders in every city as he appointed them. And then he gives the same kind of list. It's all about the character of the men who are going to leave or who are going to lead the church there in Crete. And the other areas he was going to set them up. It's all about their character. And what did we hear at the first of the show? We had a guy telling us, was it really about character? It was about God can use fallen men. Well, yeah. Because there ain't nobody else but fallen men to use. I don't know what that's saying, because if you took somebody like Charlie Kirk or you take anybody else, I've thrown it back on them. I go, yeah, God can use these people. Well, what about can he use Kamala Harris? Can he use Joe Biden? Can he use Barack Hussein Obama Satoru Sabarka? Can he use Jim Baker? Can he use, what was that guy? Jimmy Swaggart. Can he use, you know, find your fallen pastors? Any of these guys that we've talked about. Stephen Lawson, even. Can he use them? Yeah, sure. But that's not the point, is it? That's not an argument against what's going on here. This idea that people throw David in, just to kind of, you can't argue against that. This is what you need to do. You need to take them through and say, did you pay attention to the calamities, the judgments, the destruction, the dysfunction, the murders, the rapes, all of this stuff that came on David and his family because of his sin? Or did you just choose to ignore that so that you don't have to deal with it, so your conscience doesn't have to be troubled, so you can go vote, or so you can put somebody in the pulpit, or whatever you're going to do? Is that what you did? Because that's what it sounds like. And that's being obstinate. I'm just going to tell you, that's being obstinate with what the scriptures say. Because what do the scriptures call us to? It calls us to holiness, and that first comes through repentance. And all of us are on a journey of holiness if we're in Christ. And you know what? We have great confidence that the one who began that work in us, because we didn't start it ourselves. If you started it yourself, then I don't think you have very much to hope in. There's no hope in the flesh. There's no hope in self. That's for sure. But we look unto him who works in us, both to will, that's the want to, and to do, that's the doing, his good pleasure. That's what the scripture says. And how does he do that? He works in us to conform us to the image of Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you think the Christ was engaged in cuckolding anybody? I mean, I hate to even say it. I tremble to even say such a thing. Do you think he was doing that? Nope. Do you think there was all kinds of curses that came out of his mouth? Do you think he was stealing from people? Do you think he was lying to people? Do you think he was coveting other people's stuff? Do you think he was dishonoring his mother or father? Do you think he was taking the Lord's name in vain? Do you think he was carving out idols, bowing down to them and worshiping? Do you think he had other gods before him than his father? No. Then why will you try to justify doing those things yourself when you're to be conformed to his image? And why do you think you can justify it in others when they are called to the same thing? You want to know why we're in the mess we're in? That kind of thinking. We don't hold ourselves accountable, let alone anybody else. We don't preach to ourselves anymore. Oh, somebody will think I'm crazy because I'm talking to myself. Let me tell you something. My wife, my kids have seen me do it. I'll go out in the yard. I'll be either praying or I'll talk to myself. Tim, you can't do this. You've got to do this because the Lord said to do this. I'm trying to bring the conviction on myself in matters where I'm dealing with things or where I have to make a decision or what I've done or whatever. I preach to myself. David did it. You read the Psalm. He says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." That's a preaching. He's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his soul. Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God. You know, we had Casper McCloud on, was it a couple of months ago, on the morning show. And Casper, you know, he's written a book. I highly recommend it. I think it's called What Was I Thinking? I think that's the name of the book. You can pick it up. And one of the little nuggets that I got out of the book, and it was right off the bat, was you cannot think a good thought and a bad thought at the same time. You can't try it. You can't do it. Because as soon as you have a bad thought, an evil thought, a wicked thought, whatever, sinful, as soon as you begin to turn that around, maybe recite scripture, maybe begin to pray out, call out to the Lord, sing a psalm, whatever it is, guess what? That thought's no longer in your head. It's not, and it ain't in your heart either. It's the very definition of what James says, we draw near unto God, and he'll draw near to us. Flee the devil. Flee from the devil. Right? Resist him, and he'll flee from you. Too many people are content in their own sin. They're unrepentant. They will not turn from it for whatever reason, no matter how much the word's been given to them, no matter how specific that word has been given, no matter how kindly it's been applied to them, they won't do it, and they stay in their sin, and they justify their sin, and then they'll turn around and justify it in others. That's what they do. That's what we do. If we're in that mindset, that's what we'll do. We'll justify our sin. We'll justify others. Is that what we're called to do? No. Just like David, when our sin is pointed out, we should be going, I'm the man. Have mercy. Forgive me. Grant to me true repentance. Turn me and I'll be turned, Lord. That's what David did. When he was finally confronted, apparently, look, I'm going to tell you. Are you telling me that nobody in the palace knew what David had done with Bathsheba? He sent somebody to get her. Somebody knew. Somebody's probably outside the door listening. They knew. But none of them called David out until Nathan the prophet showed up and he said, you're the man. And when he did, because David had a heart after the Lord. And yeah, he sinned. I know the Lord doesn't sin, but he sinned. Once he was confronted, what did David do? Did he make excuses? Did he try to cover it up? Did he try to hide? Nope, he uncovered it. I sinned. I've sinned before the Lord. And David found mercy, didn't he? He found mercy at least for himself. But the consequences of his sin. You know, I think about, you guys have seen that film, The Patriot. You know how it opens? He says, "I something along the lines of, I always believed that my sins would revisit me kind of deal, and they're more than I can bear. And then I guess it gets reiterated a little bit longer when he loses one of his sons in the story. I'm sure David probably had some of these kind of thoughts. Boy, my sins are more than I can bear. Look at what's happened to my boys. Look at what's happened to my daughter. Look at what's happened to the kingdom. Look at what's coming in the next generation because I sinned. Look at what I did to the nations around. I dimmed the light of God in his word. The God has been so good to me. I did that and I gave them a reason to blaspheme the God I love, that I say that I love, who told me I despised him because of my sin. That's not an easy pill to swallow. That is just not easy to swallow. But he did it. Because he had the heart of God. And God granted him real repentance. That is a far cry from some of the stuff we see today. We see the justification of men's sins. And sadly, we see it from those who profess they know Christ. That's the real sad part. That's the real sad part. I have a question for you, and I'm going to leave you with this. No man can meet these standards that God has set unless he empowers them and qualifies them to meet them. And let me tell you something. God can empower and qualify men for the office of elder, for an office of deacon, for that out in the civil government. He can qualify those men. But the problem is the people don't look for the qualified. They just take what they're given by the world. The world puts up your choices in the political arena, don't they? The church doesn't do that. The world does. Sadly, the church has become part of the world because some of them do the same thing. They don't look for godly men. They don't look for men with good character. And sometimes they don't even look forward to it in the church. And I'm telling you, before we're in judgment all over, in the church and in America. But before it really hits America in fullness, it's going to come to the church. I'm just going to tell you, I think there's something people should keep in their minds about things that were said. Donald Trump has told Christians, just vote for me this one more time. You won't have to do it again. Now, he could be meaning, oh, this is the only term I'm going to get. Yeah, he could say that. Or is there something more sinister behind the scenes? You guys know about no-hide laws. I'm not going to go into a long thing about that. But he supports those. And they're specifically aimed at the Christian church. They are. Keep this stuff in mind, because you cannot justify the unjustifiable. You can't do it. And we got to stop doing that. We got to be honest with the Lord and honest with ourselves. Even if it destroys our pride, our ego, or what, good, let it go out the window. Paul said he counted everything as rubbish, dung, poop, whatever you want to call it. All his achievements, all his labels, all his medals, whatever he did as a Jew, he says it's dung. Rubbish, scubalon is the word. That's what it is to know in Christ. And that was his desire, was to know Christ. Oh God, give us men like that in our pulpits, men like that in office, men like that in our homes. And may you be glorified in it. Guys, we'll be back in the morning at 8 a.m. with Kate Shimarani. Same time, well, different time, 8 a.m. And we'll talk to you then. Kate, by the way, I talked with Kate a little bit today. There's more uncovered concerning her daughter's, the murder of her daughter. And I just continued to pray with her, because there's just a lot of stuff that keeps getting uncovered, and it just gets nastier and dirtier and darker the more she goes along. So she needs you to pray with her. And again, we'll see you back here in the morning at 8 a.m.